Welcome to the My Hockey Live podcast. I'm proud to be joined by the Boston Herald's Jim Clark. You can find Jim on Twitter at In The Slot. Jim, welcome back to the podcast.
Hey, Brandon. Glad to be back. Let's talk some hockey.
All right. So we got some big-time games last night. We can run down those six games that we want to touch on. The first, I guess we can go from the appetizer to the main course here. BC High with a 7-1 win over Malden Catholic. Previously, a 15-1 defeat. BC High defeated Malden Catholic. Talk a little bit about what went on there, Jim.
Yeah, obviously, you know, BCI had already wrapped up the Catholic Conference with their win on Sunday against Catholic Memorial. So, you know, just kind of, like you said, they'd beaten them pretty easily the first time around. So I'm a little curious just to see how it would play out this time. You know, no big surprise. Seems like it was still a relatively easy win for the Eagles as they maintain their spot, either number one, number two, depending on which rankings you look at or which power ratings or whatever. But no real surprise that BCI was able to take care of business last night and finish out their league schedule.
Yeah, they really look like, you know, it's as you have listed, you know, sort of the top two, them and Pope Francis, that it's basically a two-horse race for that number one spot at this point.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, I know, you know, a couple other people have kind of flipped them and Pope Francis last week, more so based on BCI losing to Framingham, I'm sure, last Monday, because it obviously then they came back on Thursday and played through a 2-2 tie at UMass. You know, Pope Francis was up 2-0 in that game, and I actually talked to Brian Foley last weekend, and, you know, he was kind of kicking himself a little bit because they had a really good opportunity to make a good statement in that game and they kind of let it get away from him. At the same time, it's still, if you watch the game a little bit, I didn't, but I talked to people who were there and they said that, you know, BCI still kind of controlled the play a little bit, even though they did get behind 2-0, and then they were able to chip their way back and tie it in the third period. So the way I kind of looked at it was, you know, BCI, despite the loss to Framingham earlier in the week, finished out the head-to-head with Pope Francis with a win and a tie this year. So, you know, like you said, you can kind of go either way with them, one or two. I just kind of felt in my mind that BCI had still done a little bit more to deserve to remain at number one, at least for another week.
Yeah, Framingham, the Framingham loss aside, they've since gone the tie against Pope Francis, a 4-1 win over CM, and last night 7-1 win over Malden Catholic. They've got Braintree coming up on Monday, so they've got a little bit of a break between games, and then they've got to go up to St. Mary's Lynn on Wednesday before they head off to the Buddy Ferreira Classic. So
yeah, and that St. Mary's one's interesting because if I remember correctly, I think St. Mary's kind of beat them last year down at BC High. Well, actually, I can't remember if it was at BC High or if it was in Lynn. But that was kind of a game that St. Mary's really kind of used to try to carry themselves into the Super 8 last year. So definitely a tricky one because, you know, BC High doesn't want to look too far ahead to the Buddy Ferreira, but knowing that the St. Mary's team probably is really going to try to make a statement there, I kind of have them on the bubble, like 10, 11, and 12 in my mind for the Super 8 spots right now. And so that would be a really big one for St. Mary's to try to get, so BCI definitely needs to be aware of that one.
Yeah, kind of staying up in the north, we've got St. John's Prep with a 5-3 win over Mount St. Charles Academy from Rhode Island. As a former Rhode Islander, I would tell you that Mount St. Charles is sort of the gold standard in Rhode Island high school hockey. If you're a kid and you want to play at the highest level, you go to the Mount, you try and play at the Mount. You know, there's all the stories of Bill Belisle and the crazy things that have happened there, you know, cutting kids before they actually walk out on the ice at tryouts. And, you know, from that all the way up to having pros like Brian Berard and Garth Snow and Brian Lawton, et cetera, et cetera. What do you see out of St. John's Prep? I mean, that's a pretty significant win over, you know, that's an out-of-state program, but...
Sure, and, you know, the Mount does play enough in-state programs. You know, I know they play Franklin down in the tournament every year, and they play Pope Francis, I believe. That game actually kind of came a little late in the schedule. I remember putting schedules together early in the year, and St. John's Prep only had 19 games on their schedule at one point, and all of a sudden we looked a couple weeks ago, and they had added that one at one point. And so good for them to get a pretty good Mount St. Charles team to come up to play them on a Wednesday night. And kind of an emotional season around the Mount as well, with you know, the Belials stepping away after the season, so they have a lot going on. But yeah, big win for the Prep, because obviously not only they try to stay in the Super 8 picture, but they just needed wins just to get to the 500 mark, which they did last night at 6-6-3, and had a 2-0 lead after the first period, then gave up 3 goals in the second period, down 3-2. So kind of a gut check time for them to come out in the last 15 minutes and see what kind of statement they were going to make. And, you know, got the 3 goals and were able to pull out a 5-3 win to get to 500. Because, you know, they certainly have some big games coming up. They play St. John Shrewsbury on Saturday. They have back-to-back with CM next week, 2 games. One of them was a makeup of a postponement from a couple weeks ago. And then their regularly scheduled game. And then they go Needham, and then their rivalry game with Danvers. So, certainly no layup that the Prep is going to actually, you know, stay at 500, whether they, you know, remain in the Super 8 conversation or not. But, you know, certainly a big win for them last night.
And then we move on. We've got Canton with a 7-1 win over Smithfield of Rhode Island. Smithfield, another good public program in the state of Rhode Island, comes up and kind of gets their doors blown off by Canton. But Canton's done that to everybody this season. The last 3 games, they've given up 1 goal and scored 18. So Canton continues to roll on.
Yeah, and very interesting. Actually, you do have kind of a basis of a comparison. Not that you like to compare scores, and it's not certainly not an exact science, but Smithfield did play St. Mary's back in the beginning of January, and I think St. Mary's beat them 5-0. So if you want to look at comparable, you know, 8-1 versus 5-0, you know, and decide in your own mind there. I know personally from speaking with coaches that are on the committee that puts together the watch list that there's certainly been some discussion about Canton. As you know, there is every year, anytime a Division II team kind of pops up on the radar, you know, they look at the glossy record, the 16-0, and but then they look at the strength of schedule and they say, who are they really playing? You know, Canton hasn't played a team on the watch list. They're not going to play another team on the watch list. So it's really tough to get a good read on them. But you know, are they as good as their 16-0 record shakes out? And but you look at who they actually have played, and there are some teams on their schedule who have played other teams on the watch list. They obviously have the 2 wins against Franklin, you know, and you know, Franklin has certainly played teams like Pope Francis and such. You know, they're going to play Hanover sometime next week, and Hanover has handed Duxbury one of their 2 losses. You know, they have a pretty decent tournament during February vacation, where I believe they play Medfield, Boston Latin, Coyle, and Cassidy. I think Medfield might be the team they play in the first round. You know, so, you know, certainly not Division I powers, but solid Division II programs. So if Canton can push this out to 18, 19, 20, who knows? Who knows where this is going to go? But they're certainly going to be an interesting team to talk about over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got a Winchester with a 1-0 win over Reading last night.
Yeah, and that completes the season sweep for Winchester. So when you get down to it, and if they start discussing whether they're going to take 1 or 2 teams out of the Middlesex, I think everyone pretty much assumes that Arlington, unless they fall on their face, is probably going to be the 1 team out of the Middlesex. But then if you start getting into that conversation of who might be that 9th or 10th team in the play-in game, and if it's going to be a Middlesex team, are you looking at Reading? Are you looking at Winchester? Are you looking at Melrose? They're kind of going in circles at this point, you know. You know, Winchester has the 2 wins against Reading now under their hat, but they also did lose to St. Mary's earlier in the year. They lost to Arlington already. Reading has handed Melrose its only loss. So you know, a nice win for Winchester last night, you know, getting the season sweep with Reading. And, you know, now they've got some interesting games coming up. They have to play Arlington again next Wednesday. They finish up with Woburn, and then they have the potential to play Andover in the Newburyport Bank Classic at the end of the year. So as usual, this time of year, you get some results that really put some twists into things, and that was certainly another one.
Yeah, you look at the last 5 results for Winchester. It's a 7-1 win over Malden Catholic, a 4-1 loss to Stoneham, a 4-0 win. I'm sorry, 4-0 loss to Melrose, then a 5-1 win against Lexington, and a 1-0 win against Reading. So it's kind of a little all over the place there. And like you said, it throws a little wrench into the plans, which makes me happy that I'm not in that room having to decide the top teams that are going to be showing up in the Super 8.
Exactly. And Melrose is really the intriguing team to me because they had a couple of, you know, interesting results midseason, you know, the ties against Wakefield, the tie against Burlington. Who's, you know, Burlington's a team that's really starting to come on. They've gotten that one of their top forwards, O'Halloran, back, and he's really kind of made them start to go again. You know, their top line is pretty much as good as any public school top line as you're going to find out there. So, you know, the teams that were able to catch Burlington early when they were kind of going through a little bit of a rough patch kind of got a little bit of a luxury there. But, you know, Melrose is an interesting team, and they've got an opportunity towards the end of the season. They obviously play Burlington again next Saturday. And then they actually play Xaverian on February 19th during vacation week. And that could be a game that really, you know, you hate to say that, you know, people put more weight on games that happen towards the end of the season, but that's the reality. That's when everyone was really paying attention. So so that's a game that could carry quite a bit of weight. Melrose Xaverian on February 19th, and that's going to be played at Stoneham Arena.
Speaking of Xaverian, a 5-4 winner over CM last night at Warrior Arena, a game you could have caught on My Hockey Live. Xaverian coming around at the right time here.
Yeah, and I did catch some of that game. I think I caught the right parts of that game on My Hockey Live. Kind of a back and forth game. CM kind of got up on them. I think it was 4-2 at one point in the third period. Xaverian gets one back, kind of makes it interesting. Then they get a power play late. And I think Barton was the one who scored the tying goal to make it 4-4. And then you're thinking, okay, so then this is it's going to be an interesting result for both teams. And then next thing you know, CM kind of loses track of Wainwright, I believe it was, coming out of the left circle, and Barton makes a great feed from behind the net, and Wainwright snaps it home, and Xaverian walks away with a 5-4 win, and now that gives them a split of the season series. So if you're coming down to, you know, CM and Xaverian as a talking point in the room in a couple of weeks, you know, that's certainly going to throw a twist in there. You know, now Xaverian's got the sweep against St. John's Prep, they got a split with CM. Their four losses are all the teams that are on the board. You know, losing twice to BCI, the other loss to CM, and losing to Duxbury. So so I think Xaverian certainly, you know, entrenched themselves right in the conversation for, you know, the bottom half of the top 10 of the Super 8. You know, I can't see them sneaking into the top 5 at this point, but, you know, you never know what might happen.
Yeah,
but I think they're pretty solidly in the conversation down in that bottom half in the 6-10 range.
Right, and they've got three really terrific players. Josh Barton, of course, who you mentioned, who's got 29 points. Right behind him is junior Matty Ryan, who I feel like has been there for 5 years with 28 points. And then junior Ryan Pompaselli, who's got 19 points. I feel like that core of those three kids have been playing together at Xaverian since like the late 90s, it seems. That we keep hearing Barton, Pompaselli.
Yeah.
You know, and it's on and on and on. And then you throw Matty Ryan in there too, at 28 points. They've really used that depth to, and that experience that they gained last year, you know, not making the tournament last year, but, those kids played at a high level, with some other pretty good players that, that really pushed them forward, and you see their development and growth now. Last night we had Framingham, a 2-2 tie against Needham last night.
So that's my dog in the background.
That's okay. What's the dog's name?
What's that?
What's your dog's name?
Dog's name is Bruiser. He's a bull mastiff, so he's a 105-pound couch potato.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's a bruiser.
He is a bruiser, yeah. He's a mush, but he's fun. So apparently he was having a little bit of a nap behind me as I'm working. So
that's okay. I would have figured you would have had a hockey name for the dog, but...
Well, we adopted him, so he came with the name. So yeah.
Okay. So you hear we get a special appearance there by Bruiser in the slot.
Yes.
So we had a 2-2 tie between Needham and Framingham last night. Framingham coming off of some big wins, obviously the BC High, the 2-1 win against BC High, and then a 2-1 win over Wellesley. Now this 2-2 tie versus Needham.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, Framingham really been rolling. You know, I think they won, you know, 7 in a row or something like that. Only given up one goal at most in any of those games. I think they had 4 shutouts in that stretch since the loss to Pope Francis back in January. You know, so Needham was able to get up on them by a goal in both occasions, and Framingham was able to fight back in a pretty good road game that was played at Babson. And you know, Needham is a solid public team. They've obviously got a couple losses to CM and Zavarian early this year, games that they're not counting against their record. So I think that kind of kept them from being a team that was in the conversation. But certainly capable. Another team that's got some very skilled, very veteran forwards. Tom Shimolewski being one of them. I don't want to single him out because I know that Needham's got a very veteran team, a very solid team, and a team that certainly will be one to watch in the Division I tournament. But I don't think that's necessarily a bad result for Framingham. League games are certainly tough in the Bay State Conference, and they certainly have some games coming up down the stretch that will be very telling for them. They play Hingham on Monday night, and they go Zavarian next Saturday, and then they have the Cahoon Cup up in Burlington, where I believe they play Burlington in the opening game, and against either Chelmsford or Medford in the last game. So Framingham certainly is going to have some more opportunities to make a statement for themselves one way or another in the next couple of weeks.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break here. We're going to look at Jim's Super 8 from his recent article in The Slot, and we'll be right back.
If you're looking for exceptional auto service, head on down to Sullivan Tire. Family-owned and operated, they've been serving New England for over 60 years. Their highly trained staff will give you a hand with any of your auto needs. Sullivan Tire offers brand-name tires and parts at a price that can't be beat. They're always here to get you there. Sullivan Tire.
You are listening to the My Hockey Live podcast.
Okay, we're back. Taking a look at your Super 8 rankings from this week, published yesterday, correct?
Actually, I believe Tuesday.
Tuesday. Okay.
I've been meaning to try and get them out on Mondays, but just trying to catch up from the weekend always seems to get caught up on, I had a little bit of a distraction on Sunday night that kind of kept me from focusing on what I was doing. So,
yeah.
Things happen.
So the big move there in Division I anyway is Framingham making the jump from 9-6, getting themselves in a guaranteed no playoff spot there.
Yeah, and I think that was kind of a product of of things that were going on around them. Certainly I had already factored in their win against BCI when I did my rankings last week. So I think I was just kind of looking at some interesting things that had happened. Like Arlington had a rough week last week with the losses to Burlington and losing to Reading on Saturday. And, the teams that were just kind of, not really making a strong push to get in or stay in the top six. CM kind of had a rough week with the losses to Hingham and BCI. Certainly not bad losses, but, not losses nonetheless. So I just kind of wanted to shake things up a little bit and take a look. And, you looked at Framingham, what we had talked about in the last segment, and they had won 7 in a row. They had the big win against BCI. So I was like, what the heck? Let's put them up in the top six. They've got some big games coming up, and let's see what happens.
Yeah, the other big move was Hingham moving from that sixth spot up to the three spot. Even with the loss to Pope Francis, they have been strong all season long. They play an incredibly difficult schedule as a Division I independent. Tony Messina's group has been equal to the task all season. They seem, in my opinion, to slot really well in that number three spot, because I don't know that they're at that BC High Pope Francis level, but I feel like they're better than Austin Prep and CM and Framingham.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I was at the game Saturday when they played Pope Francis, and a very good, pretty even game. 2-2 game with about 5 and change left, and then they kind of lost track of a player coming down the slot, and Malcolm Demers, Pope Francis' outstanding forward, makes a great pass, and then the tip on the goal, I'm struggling to remember exactly who it was who scored it. Tavella, I believe it was John Tavella, who scored 2 goals in that game, kind of lunged a little bit. Now, if you ask Tony was convinced it might have been offside. He actually thought that, Pope Francis might have had 6 guys on the ice. But I told him, I said, this 6th guy really isn't that good compared to the other 5. And, he chuckled. But it is what it is. It was a 2-2 game with 5 minutes to go, and Pope Francis gets the go-ahead goal and then gets an empty netter in the last minute, and it's a 4-2 final. Emotional game for Hingham. It was their senior game. It was their last home game. So they certainly wanted to go out with a win. So they were certainly upset and disappointed about that. But you couldn't have been disappointed with the effort and them showing that they really aren't that far behind at least the Pope Francis tier, you know, whether they're on the par with BCI remains to be seen. Hopefully we'll get to see that in a couple of weeks in the Buddy Ferreira Classic. But you're right, you know, aside from the loss to Andover on the road back in January, I think I'm pretty much as taking care of business in every opportunity they've had. And, you know, like you said, with the way Tony puts his schedule together, they certainly have plenty of opportunities. So you have to reward them for that.
Yeah. They had their senior day on Saturday, February 2nd, and then they don't play another home game. They are on the road. They played last night. I'm sorry. They played on Monday against Franklin, then Sunday against Arlington at Warrior, then Framingham, then they go for three at the Buddy Ferreira. So they'll go for a full, you know, they won't play another home game until next season, obviously, but they're basically going to spend an entire month on the road, which is tough.
Exactly. And, you know, Tony joked after the game, he says, who the heck put this schedule together? Of course, you know, no one, you know, independent, it's all up to him. But certainly the Arlington Framingham back to back on Sunday night and then Monday night, you know, 24 hours apart. That's going to be a grind for them. That's going to be really telling. So you can't, you know, let's say they have a hiccup one way or another in either of those two games. You can't put a whole lot of a stock in that because, you know, those are two teams that are certainly going to be fighting and wanting to make a statement. And Hingham is a bullseye team at this point. You know, they might not be a BCI level bullseye, but they're certainly a bullseye for those public schools, and everyone wants to get that notch in their belt. So, you know, that'll be a tough stretch for them. And you know, certainly regardless of what happens, I can't see them falling below four or five. I think they're a pretty safe top five team when all is said and done.
You think about what they're going to have to do going to Warrior on Sunday night for a 7:30 start, and then going the next night to Framingham to Loring for a 7:40 start. Those are two very late nights in a row. Those kids are going to be gassed by the time Tuesday morning classes roll around. Yep. But thankfully, they've got that break between Monday and then Saturday. They've got, you know, four or five straight days with no games before they head off to the Buddy Ferreira. Moving down to Division II, you know, I guess we touched upon this a little bit earlier in Canton. Can they possibly be in the mix for the Super 8? And I think we had an answer there, and that's probably a no, but you never know. But I guess I do want to talk about what Boston Latin has done of late. Frank Woods and his Boston Latin Wolfpack make a big jump from number 10 to number 4 in the rankings.
Yeah, and like I was saying with Framingham in Division One, I think that's more of a case. And there was just a lot of upheaval with some of the teams that I had in the 4-5-6 area. You know, Quincy's kind of hit a little bit of a rough patch. You know, Medfield, I'd been kind of waiting to see if they were for real or not, and they went up and they lost the game against Linfield on Saturday 5-4. You know, some of the other teams I had in that 6-7 range. So Latin was kind of lurking in the weeds a little bit, and then they had that big win against Lincoln Sudbury last Wednesday, and then took care of business on Saturday against Methuen, and then they come out yesterday in another pretty good solid home win against Tewksbury. So 11-3-2, they've kind of come around since the first of the year, and they've really got it rolling, and they're pushing for first place in their division of the DCL MVC. So just another case of a team that's kind of gotten on the roll, and I thought they deserved to make a jump in the rankings.
Yeah, really looking forward to seeing their matchup Tuesday, February 19th against Canton in the first round of the Joe Quinn Memorial Classic. Memorial Tournament, I'm sorry, in Raynham. That should be an interesting one. In that tournament, you also touched upon earlier, you've got Canton, Boston Latin, Coyle and Cassidy, and Medfield. Pretty powerful Division II tournament, sort of a prep for the state tournament there.
Yeah, and you know, that's one of the things when, you know, people talk in meeting rooms or whatever about teams and their schedules, and you know, whether they think their schedules are strong enough. I'm, you know, kind of angle putting this from a Canton spin on this, and you know, not realizing that some of these teams have long-standing relationships for, you know, tournaments and such. You know, Canton has been playing in this Joe Quinn tournament, which obviously Joe Quinn, legendary former coach at Coyle and Cassidy. So it's a big deal for the teams like that that have been playing in that tournament of that kind for years and years. So, you know, it's not always easy when you think that you have a strong team coming back and kind of want to get into the Super 8 conversation to break some of those relationships for maybe 1 or 2 years to take a shot at it. I think that kind of thing gets lost in the conversation, you know, on top of the fact that some of these teams play in leagues that might not be as strong as others. So I think sometimes, you know, people get hung up a little bit too much on the strength of schedule thing, and you kind of have to look beyond that a little bit and kind of take a look at the team on its own merits and see what they've got going on. So, you know, very interesting thing going on with Canton this year. It'll be interesting to see what comes out of that.
Yeah, and then moving down to Division III, Canton is going to play Hanover on Wednesday of next week. But before that, Hanover's got a matchup against Bishop Stang. So a real rough week looking up if you're Hanover, the Hanover Indians. You've got two of the top teams sort of outside of Division I that you've got to face in the next week and see kind of test your mettle for heading into the tournament.
Yeah, Stang's the kind of interesting team. I know they just lost last night 1-0 to Coyle. So Coyle is another Division III team. That their record might not be as strong, but they do play a pretty strong non-league schedule. They play some pretty good Division I opponents that have kind of, you know, soften their record a little bit, but now they're starting to come around now that the tournament's going on. And you know, that win against Stang last night kind of puts them in the driver's seat in their league, but Stang's certainly a capable team. You know, it'd be interesting to see what kind of run they give to Hanover. You know, Hanover's kind of bounced back a little bit since that loss to North Quincy a couple weeks ago, and they kind of reestablished themselves, and they're certainly driving to be the one seed in Division III South. But you know, they've certainly got some interesting games coming up, so we'll see how that all shakes out.
Right, and then at the end of the season, they've slid into the Gould tournament, taking the place of Silver Lake. So it'd be Pembroke versus Hanover in the first round, and then in the second round, Hanover versus Norwell or Scituate. So again, a good tune-up for them heading into the state tournament. I do want to touch upon the Beanpot. First round was on Monday night at TD Garden, as long tradition has stood. We had sort of an interesting game. I'll talk about the Northeastern game in a second. The first game, Jack McBain scores to send BC to its first Beanpot final since 2016 with a 2-1 win over Harvard. Kind of, you know, part just because it's me, I would love to see the Harvard versus Northeastern final because I think it's a little different, but we haven't seen that in a bit.
Yeah, it's amazing that, you know, obviously there's certain years that dictate the matchups and you just can't have the Harvard-Northeastern final matchup. But it's just amazing that the run that it's on without a Harvard-Northeastern final. You know, obviously, you know, there's you know, valid reasons for that. BU and to some extent in the last decade or so, BC have kind of really controlled things. And obviously Northeastern is the defending champion and everything. But, yeah, that was a pretty good game and, you know, quite a – you know, nice play for BC's winning goal by McBean. They kind of got a little bit of a break. They actually got a bounce on both their goals. Their first goal was a 3-on-2 and a nice trailer play, but the puck kind of hit a skate in the offensive zone and carried back out, and they were able to transition the other way. And the same thing the other night. The puck kind of hit a skate. Wallstrom tried to make the feed. It kind of bounced off a skate, went right to McBean, and I think he might have caught the Harvard goalie a little bit out of position, and just a beautiful finish to the top corner. But, you know, BC was interesting because obviously they had that streak where they hadn't won a non-conference game going back to November of 2016. I want to say it was 25 or 26 straight games. It was just amazing that they had been hanging around the top of the Hockey East standings consistently in the last couple of years, but they, for whatever reason, they just couldn't win a non-conference game, and that includes back-to-back fourth-place finishes in the Beanpot because those count as non-conference games as well, even if they played in Northeastern or BU. So, you know, I'm sure good for BC to finally, you know, get off that schneid and get back to the Beanpot final again.
Yeah, we used to call it the BU Invitational, but not necessarily lately. BU down a little bit. Tyler Madden's goal 51 seconds into overtime sends Northeastern to the finals for the second year in a row. They're looking to win their first back-to-back championship since 1984-85. Do you think Northeastern has what it takes to beat BC?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, anytime you throw Caden Primo in goal, and, you know, I saw what Primo could do a couple weeks ago when they beat UMass at Matthews, and UMass threw, I think, 46 shots at him, and he had had a shaky game the night before, gave up 5 on him, getting pulled out in Amherst, and then comes back the next night and stones him in Northeastern wins in overtime. So, you know, Primo is certainly got the experience, and you know, Northeastern could ride him, even though Northeastern might not have some of the horses that they had on their Beanpaw team last year, the Gaudettes or the Sakuras and the Stevens, the guys like that. You know, they do have some skilled players on Madden with a great finish. And, you know, what a pass by Jeremy Davies coming out of the faceoff circle. And he sees Madden kind of cheating behind the defense a little bit and just kind of threads it through and manages to keep him onside. And then, you know, Madden did the rest there. But just a phenomenal play all around. I think it'd be really, really interesting to see if Northeastern can pull it off again.
Yeah, that seam pass that led to Madden's goal in overtime is the kind of thing that, as a coach, you want to try and practice that as that, you know, to spring a guy. But on the defensive side, as a coach, you're like, this is the play we cannot ever give up. Right. You know, and you'll watch that film forever going, I can't believe they got between both of our defensemen and, you know, and our center, who's supposed to be covering the middle of the ice there. And I do have to touch upon Tyler Madden's celebration after the goal. Never ever in my life have I seen the Snow Angel celebration to win a game. That was pretty special.
I mean, it's got to be a game winner. You can't pull that off during the game.
Yeah, right.
Naturally, there's, you know, you're going to wind up with a coho upside your head at some point, you know. But you know, that could come back to bite him at some point down the road if they want to play in BU again, you know. But it was a lot of fun. I mean, you know, the bean pot, you can say what you want about it. It's kind of lost its luster over the years or whatever, you know. It's still a big deal for the four schools and their four fan bases and all that, and certainly a big deal for the players. They, you know, they still put a lot of stock in it for those two Monday nights in February. So you know, and to win a game, you know, 51 seconds or whatever into overtime, and you send your team to the final, I'm sure that, you know, certainly a thrill for him, and you know, good for him. It was fun. It was a fun little scene, you know, seeing him celebrate like that. And I have no problem with that kind of stuff, you know.
No, but, absolutely.
You know, I might not be a coach and I might not have that side of it to me, but, you know, as a fan, it was certainly fun to watch.
Yeah, it certainly was. And we're looking forward to a Northeastern versus BC final coming up on Monday. Jim, thank you so much. Do you have anything you'd like to plug before we go?
No, I mean, I've got some interesting stuff coming up. You know, I want to try to sneak out my bracketology maybe a little bit earlier this year. You know, that is a big hit during the final week of the season as teams kind of start to jockey for position and, you know, in all the divisions and see where they might line up in the tournament. I've been kind of working on that and updating it, and I'm thinking I might sneak it out a little bit earlier than usual this year, even if it doesn't get updated on a daily basis. I kind of, you know, give teams an idea of where they might stand and who they might line up against. So kind of working on that, and you know, and then just trying to stay on top of the Super 8 watch list and who all these teams are playing and what they've done in past games, and kind of updating the power rankings and all that. And so hopefully plenty of good stuff coming up in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. And I will tell you, as a coach, we definitely look at that stuff. You know, any coach that tells you they're not reading the newspaper is lying to you. You know, we look at it. The kids are looking at it. They're saying, "Coach, it says Clark says we're going to be playing so and so in the first round." And I go, "Guys, we're gonna, you know, we still got a couple of games left." But who'd you say it was? So, you know, we appreciate that stuff. It's all good, Jim. We appreciate the work that you do, and thank you for coming on the podcast, Jim Clark, Boston Herald. Check him out on Twitter at In the Slot. He's probably got the most intense high school hockey Twitter feed going. A lot of great stuff. The UMass stuff too, UMass hockey and Bruins coverage and everything else. Thank you for what you do for high school hockey, Jim.
Thanks a lot, Brandon. Anytime. Always happy to talk hockey.
Yeah, and that will do it for this episode of the My Hockey Live podcast. Check us out next week. We'll talk to you soon.